Amen to that. Prove his will. We need to try ourselves. I appreciate all of what Brother Thomas said, but I like that illustration about that fitting room. Hadn't heard that before. I like that. We need to try these things on and see how they fit. Prove it. I want to prove something else this morning, Lord willing, by the scriptures. But I'll introduce the thought with a question. Why was Jesus born? You know, that's a lot of folks are thinking about that and talking about that right now, this time of year. But think about it now. Why was he born? Nobody know? Right? Yeah. To save his people from their sins. You know, a lot of times holidays come and go, and I don't feel the necessity to address them from the pulpit. But, and I don't feel like there's necessarily a necessity, but I do feel a desire this morning to speak along the lines of the birth of Christ so that we can be reminded of the truth of Scripture. Prove it. Prove why. You know, we find that in Matthew's account when the angel was speaking to Joseph and he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Did he? You sure about that? Well, what we heard, if God said it, it's so. Whether we believe it or not. But we rejoice this morning that he did save his people from their sins. I want to notice, let me just read a little bit out of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Remember when the shepherds were out on the watching over their flocks? And the angel said unto them, "Fear not." I'm in verse 10, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. "And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.'" Here's another one of those alls. Elder Thomas mentioned an all in one of the verses that he was reading, and it was all manner of things. Well, we need to try that whenever we read an all in Scripture and find out, is it an all-inclusive all, or is this an all that's the one under consideration? Or all manner of things, not necessarily all without exception. Well, if you keep reading, you'll find that Herod didn't think that this was good news. Herod didn't think this was good tidings. So what we find then is this all here, all manner of people. Okay, this message, God has a people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And it's good news when God has blessed us to understand what he's done for us. So we find that he says, which will be good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The verse said, "Unto you is born this day a Savior." See, he was a Savior. He was the Savior when he was born. He didn't become the Savior because of all that he did. He came to do the will of the Father. Remember John chapter 6, he said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me." Now that's not every human being, is it? "All that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." That sounds like to me a complete Savior. That sounds like to me a successful Savior. That sounds like to me the kind of Savior that the Scriptures speak about. All right? So when we consider the Savior that was given, the Savior that was born, even as a little baby, he's the Savior. Even though it's going to be 30-something years, 33 and a half is what's commonly said as far as the length of his life until he went to the cross. Bless your hearts, he was born a Savior. We rejoice in that, don't we? When we prove the Scriptures, we can find that's exactly what the Scriptures teach about the Lord, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. So first of all, he was purposed of God to be the Savior. All right? Now I want to go to a passage. You may not necessarily connect this with the birth of Christ, but it does speak about God's purpose. Remember Isaiah 46, beginning of verse 9, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I'm God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." What I don't normally quote is the next couple of verses. It says, "Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. I have spoken it, I'll bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." And that's the principle I want to lay out to you. If God has purposed something, he's well able to do it, and he will do it because he is faithful to his word. When we prove this word, we'll find that God is always faithful. If he said it, that's what he means about it, and it's the truth. And we can rejoice in it. You know, I appreciate writings of other elders. I appreciate listening to preaching from other elders. But I always realize that that's a man. And when they're talking about their opinion and speaking about their understanding of the Word of God, then I appreciate the things that they say. But every now and then, you know, you hear something that might not ring quite true. But as long as we're in Scripture, as long as we're reading the Word of God, we don't have to worry about that being the truth. It is the truth. We can rejoice in that. And when God says, if I've purposed it, I will bring it to pass. I'll do it. And so I wanted to lay that principle out. And so what we find then is we look at how that God purposed for his son to come into this world to be the Savior of those that were given to him to save. And bless your hearts, when we understand those principles and understand that's what God said about it, we can rejoice in it, can't we? All right. Now I want to go to, you know, when the wise men came to Herod and they asked, and Herod asked, you know, where was Jesus to be born? Remember that passage that what they told him came out of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. I think I quoted that recently here. But I want to read this. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. In connection now with the fact that God purposed that his son would be sent in this world to be the Savior. All right? Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah," and this, by the way, speaks of the very location hundreds of years before Jesus was born. It speaks where he would actually be born. All right? "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." And listen to this. This child that was born, this word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, whose goings forth. Now this is a long time before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Okay. "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That's why John would tell us in the Gospel according to John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then later on in verse 14 in that first chapter of John, he would say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But his goings forth have been of old, even everlasting. And so this is the Word of God, which, by the way, Brother Thomas mentioned in the early part of Genesis, let there be light. That's the Word speaking to us. That Word was later made flesh and dwelt among us when he was born, when he was conceived in the virgin's womb and was born in Bethlehem. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. By the way, at the very beginning of Genesis, let's see, what does that say? In the beginning, God. All right? Now, here's my point about that. If you can't handle that, I'm not sure there's anything else in the book for you. In the beginning, God. Because then it goes on to talk about created, the heaven, the earth. Oh, as we think about, God has told us what he was going to do. In the book of Acts, we find it says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Right. So God purposed of old. And we find other scriptures that speaks about before the world began. And all of those other passages like that speaks of how that God had a purpose. And in that purpose, he would send his son to this earth. And he had a purpose for him to accomplish, or he had a work for him to do when he got here. And he said, Jesus said of himself, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so we find God purposed to send his son. So that's why when you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 where Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God's eternal purpose involves sending his son to save his people from their sins. All right? So not only was he purposed to come to be our Savior and King, bless your hearts, he was Savior when he was born. All right? I read to you out of Luke chapter 2 how that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Isaiah had prophesied, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, prophesied of the virgin birth, how that his name would be called Emmanuel. And when you read in Matthew chapter 1, he tells us what Emmanuel means, God with us. And so this is not just any child that we're talking about here that was born in Bethlehem. We're talking about the one that was purposed from the foundation of the world, who the prophet said would be born of a virgin, who was born of a virgin, Mary, as we're introduced in the New Testament. And bless your hearts, he came to do the work that the Father sent him to do. And we could go to other prophets, but we won't take the time to do that. But in Luke chapter 2, we read verse 10 and 11. If you keep going down to verse 30, you'll find when they brought Jesus into the temple. And there was a man there by the name of Simeon. Remember him? And what we're trying to talk about at this point is he was born a Savior. Do you remember what Simeon said? God had promised this man, Simeon, that he wouldn't see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms, he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Even as a baby in his arms, God blessed him to know that this is the Savior. Brethren, he was born a Savior. And he died a Savior. He lived a perfect life, sinless life. Remember when he was baptized, there was a voice from heaven, God himself saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then all the way down to just before he was crucified on the Mount of Transfiguration, after Moses and Elijah appeared there, and then when they faded from the scene, God again spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." The law and the prophets had been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your hearts, but now it's time to listen to Jesus, our Savior, the one that was born in Bethlehem, the one that God purposed from the foundation of the world to send to this world to save his people from their sins. And bless your hearts, when he went to the cross, there's so many things that were fulfilled as far as prophecy is concerned when he went to the cross, but one of the things was in his agony, when it came time for God to withdraw his presence from his own Son, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Well, the reason was, he came to do a work. When he was virgin born, God had fitted him for the work that he was to do. He was the fit sacrifice for our sins. Being virgin born, he had no sin about him. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us that he's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. If he wasn't separate from sinners, if he wasn't virgin born, we don't have a Savior. He'd be just like any of us that are born in this world with our sin polluted. Oh, but bless your hearts, his blood was pure. He was the fit sacrifice for our sins. And that's exactly what God sent him to do, is to be the propitiation for our sins. He gave himself for us, for his people. All that were given to him to save in that covenant, he came to save them. He said, like we quoted from John chapter 6, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me." Now that's a number that's innumerable to us. We don't know who all that is, but God does. He knows them individually. He sent his Son to save his people from their sins. That's what the scripture says. You may not hear a lot of that in the world today as they celebrate this time of season, this season of the year. But bless your hearts, that's the truth of what God's word says. We can prove that as we compare scripture to scripture. Now, when Jesus died, I mentioned how that he quoted what he said when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You can find that in Psalm 22, can't you? David, in spirit, said those very words. Now, Jesus was not quoting David. The Spirit of Christ was in David, speaking those words when he pinned those things down for us. Bless your heart, David was quoting Jesus. All right? And he bowed his head. Said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. But before he died, he said, "It's finished." He said, "It's finished." Now, John 19:30. He said, "It's finished." What the Father had purposed for him to do, what Jesus came into this world to do, was to save his people from their sins. And he did it. He said he did. And we could rejoice in that today. He said, "It's finished." He didn't say, "I've made a way." He didn't say, "I've taken it part of the way and you got to finish it." No. He said, "It's finished." Do you believe that? That's what the word says. That's what the word says. It's finished. And so after Jesus' resurrection, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but after his resurrection, when he appeared to those men on the road to Emmaus, remember what they said? We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. From their very words, we can tell they're not trusting him at that point. They had trusted him, but they weren't at that point. Remember what Jesus told them? Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. There's your proof. Look what they said about it. Compare what they're seeing. See the prophecies that have been fulfilled. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. And beginning at Moses and all the script. Beginning at Moses, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I would have loved to have heard that message. He expounded unto them in all the Old Testament scriptures that spoke of him, how he was prophesied to be born of a virgin, how he would come to this world, how, and there's so much that I just have to leave out, but there's so much that the Old Testament spoke of how God purposed to save his people through his son. And bless your hearts, when Jesus said it's finished, it was accomplished. Back to that Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah appeared there with Jesus and they were talking to him. You know, Matthew and Mark, I believe, when they record that, they don't say what they were talking about. But Luke tells us that they spake with him concerning his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. He would die on the cross and finish the work the Father sent him to do. He was prophesied to be our Savior. He lived and died as our, he was born as our Savior. He lived and died our Savior. He said it's finished. And he rose again as our Savior. Remember when Lazarus died? And Jesus waits. Oh, he could have gone immediately when he heard. But he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And so he waited. He didn't even come to the funeral. He waited 4 days. And then when he comes, Martha says, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. Let me turn to that. I may not quote something just right, so I want to get it. John chapter 11. Martha said, this is John 11 verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Don't run over that too quickly. He didn't say, I'm going to affect the resurrection. He's not saying, I can be that if you'll cooperate. He said, I am the resurrection. There is no resurrection apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection. He's the Word that was made flesh. He's the one that did the will of the Father perfectly. He is the one that will call us from the graves. And if we're alive and remain, will be changed. He is the resurrection. Everything about the resurrection. Bless your hearts as we think about it. And then he goes on to say this. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he's the Savior? Do you believe he finished the work the Father sent him to do? Bless your hearts. He died for you. He rose for you. Not only that, but listen, he goes on to say, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you know, for the believer, there may come a time before Jesus comes back that we breathe out our last. But if we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's given us his Spirit, because he's enabled us to hear his word and believe his truth, if we're a believer, there's something about us that does not die. When we breathe out our last, we immediately awake in the presence of the Lord. Just like that thief at Jesus' side. He said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, his body wasn't going to paradise that day, but he did. What made him him went to paradise when he breathed out his last. I'm going to tell you something. If you're able to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he finished the work the Father sent him to do, and bless your hearts, when you breathe out your last, you'll immediately be in the presence of your Lord, the one that loved you and gave himself for you, that you might be with him forever. Oh, what a Savior we have. Bless your hearts. He was our Savior when he was resurrected. And getting back to Luke chapter 24, after he had spoken with the men on the road to Emmaus, and they went back to Jerusalem, then he appeared to the disciples that evening. And he concluded that conversation in Luke chapter 24. He says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Those things had to be fulfilled. And they were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior today, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's our Savior. Now, when he came to this earth, he came as our sin bearer. But in Hebrews chapter 9, I believe it is, he says, but unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. See, when he came the first time, he had to deal with our sins. He had to be the fit sacrifice for our sins. I don't have time to get into it, but that Old Testament Day of Atonement, when the two goats, and one was slain and his blood was sprinkled on the altar, and then that some of that blood was taken and placed on the head of a second goat. And all the sins of Israel were confessed upon that goat. And then that goat was led out into the wilderness by the hand of a fit man into a land not inhabited and released, which was a picture of our sins being borne away. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. My reference Bible says that there's an alternate rendering of that. The translator said that it could also have been rendered, behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. And that might reminds us of that Day of Atonement, and how those sins symbolically were born away on the Day of Atonement. But bless your hearts, literally, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins to the tree to save us from our sins. And bless your hearts, he's seated at the right hand of the Father there today, making intercession for us as our Savior. He came the first time as our sin bearer. He's coming back again without sin. He's already done that. He's already satisfied God's will. He's already dealt with the sin issue. Our sins are put away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And bless your hearts, when he comes again, he doesn't have to deal with that anymore. And I cannot understand why anyone would think that Jesus is going to come back and sit on a throne upon this earth, and they're going to reinstitute the animal sacrifices, rebuild a temple over there. It's an effort that's well-funded. They're just waiting for an opportunity to get their hands on that mosque so they can build a new temple and reinstitute the animal sacrifices. For what purpose? For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There is no need for animal sacrifices anymore. He dealt with that when he came the first time. When he comes the second time, it'll be without sin unto salvation. And so, Not only is he our Savior, as he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us today, he's coming back. He's going to be our returning Savior. He's coming back to gather up all that he died for, all that he saved by his precious blood, and he's going to take us home to be with him forever. No wonder the angels proclaim, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," because of what Jesus, the one who was our Savior when he was born into this world, eventually would die for our sins, pay the sin debt, reconcile us, make peace with God. That's the peace the angels were talking about. Oh, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars upon this earth. Bless your hearts, peace has been made between God and all that Jesus died for. May God help us to rejoice, not only in his birth, but rejoice even greater in what he accomplished in his death, that he rose again, and he's coming back someday to gather us up and take us home to be with him forever. May God bless you, is our prayer.